We began the month of November talking about cultivating a life overflowing with thankfulness. And as we are now in Thanksgiving week on this coming Thursday, in addition to good food, good football, amen, time with family and fellowship, one of the primary things that ought to be upon your lips and upon your heart is thankfulness and thanksgiving. But as we have said, we don't need a day to be told to give thanks. In fact, there's no way in the world that you and I, as good as God has been to us, can wait for one day just to give thanks. Amen. Because what we've discovered is God is good. And as some folks say, all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. We learn that his love endures forever. And even when it doesn't seem like it's a good thing, God has a way of working out all things so that they work for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. So when you and I think about that, we can't help but be filled with thankfulness. And we want our thankfulness to be such that it's like fire shut up in our bones. I refuse to keep what God is doing to myself. I refuse to take credit for what God is doing, because I know that if God had not been on my side, I may have been overtaken. That's right. Where would I be if God had not been on my side? And so I refuse to take credit for the doors that God opens. I refuse to take credit for the favor that God gives. I refuse to take credit for the mercies that God rains down in my life. And therefore, I say I will learn how to be thankful. Amen. And so we began the month talking about cultivating a life overflowing with thankfulness. And what we said is we want to be the kind of people that we are so thankful that our thankfulness splashes out on people. Amen? You know, there's an expression. I don't know if you've heard this. This is going to be a little bit gross. Don't get offended by it. But it is said that when people come to you and they are complaining, they complain and they complain and complain and complain. It's almost like, and you know how it is, when folk done complaining, they leave, right? They say it's almost like after they have finished their complaints, it's like they have vomited on you and then left you with a mess, right? I know that's nasty, but we want to be the kind of people, we don't complain. We learn how to give thanks. Amen. And so because our thanks is overflowing, we want to be giving thanks so much that it's splashing on people and it's hitting them and it's slapping them all upside the head. But in such a way that when we walk away, it's not that they feel grossed out. They feel refreshed. Amen. We want our thankfulness to be such that, man, when we leave a person's presence, they feel better, knowing that no matter what they are going through, that they've just been introduced or reminded of that there is one who is able to see you through thick and thin. Amen. And so we're wanting our lives to be overflowing with thankfulness. And so today, as we close out the month of November and prepare for the week of Thanksgiving, I want to talk about sowing seeds of thankfulness. Sowing seeds of thankfulness and reaping eternal life. Sowing seeds of thankfulness and reaping eternal life. If you would turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, we want to look at verses 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, we want to look at verses 7 through 10 as our starting place. And then there are some more scriptures that we will share just as we talk about sowing seeds of thankfulness. Because if you and I are going to cultivate a life overflowing with thankfulness, we've got to sow some seeds. Okay. Amen? We've got to sow some seeds. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. I want to invite you to stand as we read this together. I'd ask that you would hold your place in your Bible, on your device, whatever tool you might be using. And let's read it together from the screen. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 7. Let's read. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Father, we thank you today. We simply pray that God, you will anoint my tongue, that Lord, I might declare your word. Make it like the pen of a ready writer, proclaiming only your truth. God, anoint our ears that we can hear what your Spirit has to say, so that God, we are both challenged and encouraged to sow seeds of thankfulness that we might indeed reap, God, eternal life. We thank you today in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So as a reminder, thankfulness is an attitude, is a feeling that is expressed and demonstrated through specific behavior. Amen. So when we talk about being thankful and having thankfulness, it means that we have a certain attitude about us. That attitude about us helps us also manage our feelings so that we don't become intoxicated on our feelings, but we are controlled by something different. And it is an attitude then that affects our behavior, because it is demonstrated in what we do, what we say, how we behave. So you and I are to be a thankful people. Amen. Thankfulness is not going to be based upon necessarily what you're going through. Amen. Because if you've lived long enough, Anthony, if you've lived long enough, you discover that every day ain't sunshine. Every day is not filled with roses. There are some days, you heard that song, climbing on the rough side of the mountain. There are some days you feel like you are climbing on the rough side of the mountain. Amen. There are some experiences that you really have to remember that if God is for me, who then can be against me? There are some experiences that you really have to be anchored in the truth that God will see me through. Because sometimes, though, those experiences come hard and heavy and fast, and you wonder, what have I to be thankful for? And you need to remember that your attitude of thankfulness is not necessarily based upon what you're experiencing at that moment. Your attitude of thankfulness is rooted in a truth. Amen. It's rooted in a truth. It's anchored in a truth. Here's the truth. The truth is that God loves me. God cares for me. God sees me, and God will see me through. Amen. When your thankfulness is rooted in that truth, when it is anchored in that truth, whatever circumstances you might be experiencing will not derail your thankfulness. Instead, you'll learn how to be thankful in all circumstances, because you are remembering that God is with me. That's a whole nother message. We can talk about that next time, when God is with me. But if you can just remember that God is with me, it'll help you to be able to press through whatever it is you might be going through, and you will learn how to be thankful even in the midst of what you might be going through. Amen? You learn how to say, thank you, Jesus, even when I got to walk with a limp. Somebody know about that, because somebody been dealing with some knee pain. Somebody been dealing with some ankle pain. Somebody been dealing with some hip pain. And you learn that even when I got to walk with a limp, I can still say, thank you, Jesus. Because my limp does not determine my attitude toward God. Remember, it's an attitude, right? And so instead of me complaining about my limp, I give God thanks that I can limp. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. That by his grace, my steps might be slower, but I'm still making some steps. Hallelujah. Because thankfulness becomes an attitude. And it's rooted in the truth that God loves me. God sees me. God is with me, and God will see me through this. Amen? So when you and I can get to that place of where we learn how to sow seeds of thankfulness, then we'll get to the place of where we can reap the harvest of eternal life. We can reap it. We can reap it. This has always been an interesting scripture to me. Do not deceive, God cannot be mocked. Because we normally hear it used in the context of when, you know, you're trying to tell somebody that's doing you wrong. God see you. You ain't gonna get away with that. That's how we always generally, let me say it that way, that's how we generally think about it. God can't be mocked. You can't get nothing over on God, because what you sow, you gonna reap. And so we're normally trying to remind somebody, you might be doing me wrong, but it's gonna come back and get you. And that's true. But I'm wanting to see the other side of it today. Because what you sow, you do reap. And if you can learn how to sow the right things, your reaping will be multiplied, won't it? What you reap is going to be good. Amen? If we could just learn how to sow the right things. And I want to argue with you that sowing seeds of thankfulness will yield for you a blessing that your mind has not imagined. Remember how the word of God says that he will do for us more than we can ask, think, or imagine? I want to suggest to you that when you sow seeds of thankfulness, that you are going to reap a harvest that you never imagined, because God is going to do for you what you did not ask for, and he's going to go above and beyond what you were looking for, because you have been so focused on sowing seeds of thankfulness that you didn't miss what you sowed. And God says, I always give you more than what you planted. Amen? Amen. You know how it is with apples, right? You don't actually sow or plant apples in the ground. What do you sow? An apple seed. Amen? And when it comes up, produces a tree, and then the tree has fruit, apples that you can enjoy. But what did you plant? You planted a seed. What did you get? You got an apple. You said a whole orchard. She said a whole orchard. You plant a seed, but you're getting something that you can enjoy. Nourishment for your body, fruit for your body. It's more than you sowed. And what I'm trying to tell you is that when you learn how to sow seeds of thankfulness, God is going to produce in your life more than you sowed. That's why you don't have to get caught up in begging and worrying about the stuff that you need. Here's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, and then all these other things that you find yourself worried about will be added unto you. So you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, any of that stuff, where you're going to live. He said, all you got to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he says that he will add all of these things to you. It is you reaping as you have been seeking. You're reaping more than what was sown. And so he says, if you will sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. Now John chapter 17, verse number 3 tells us what eternal life is. John 17, verse number 3 says that eternal life is this, that we may know God and Jesus Christ who he sent. So that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is to know God and to know his son, Jesus. And he says, if you know them, you have all that you need. Because everything that you need is wrapped up in God and in his person, his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so then he says, if you will sow to please the Spirit, then you will reap from the Spirit eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing God and knowing his son, Jesus Christ. That's the one that can open up every door that's been closed. That's the one, if you're going to put a reference on your resume, you need to put him down. That's the one who has a way of changing the hearts of those decision makers. For it says, the heart of the king is in God's hand, and he directs it like a water course. If you're going to know somebody, you need to know God. Amen? That's the one that you need to know, because he is the one who can open doors for you. He is the one who can pave a way for you. He is the one who can take care of your enemies. He is the one who will stand and be a refuge for you. He is the one. So if you want to know somebody, know God. Oh, but check this out. You can't know God unless you come through his son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets in to see the Father unless they come through me. So you can't claim to know God if you disown in Jesus. Your past won't work at the door. Your badge has been deactivated. Your key won't work. You've got to go to God in the name of Jesus in order to receive access. That's why that scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 says that we have a great high priest who has made a way for us so that now we can boldly approach the throne of grace. How? Through Jesus Christ, to talk to God and receive from God all the grace, all the mercy that we need. So he says, yep, if you want to know God, if you want to get from God, you've got to come through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, listen, to know me is easy. He said, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. But to know me, you've got to accept who I am. You can't deny who I am. You can't change and rearrange who I am. You can't redefine who I am. He said, you've got to acknowledge that I am the Son of God, that I once rested in heaven, that I was with the Father in the beginning, and everything that was made through me, and it was made for me. You've got to acknowledge who I am. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, who left his place in glory to come and dwell on earth among men. And so he took which could not be contained and allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So you got to acknowledge Jesus for who he is. Amen. Jesus is not just another prophet. He was the prophet. Amen. You've got to acknowledge him for who he is. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who was sent to take away the sins of the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved all of us that he gave Jesus so that none of us will perish, but that all of us can have eternal life. But you've got to acknowledge Jesus for who he is, the perfect Lamb of God who was without spot or wrinkle. What does that mean? That means that he is the only one who has ever walked the face of the earth that did not sin. Nope, Jesus never told a lie. Nope, Jesus was never disobedient to his mama and his daddy. Nope, Jesus never mistreated anybody. Nope, Jesus didn't gossip. Nope, Jesus didn't steal. Nope, Jesus didn't do any of that stuff that we know is sin. In fact, Jesus never disobeyed a word from the Lord. Everything that he heard his father say to him, he did it, no matter how painful it may have been. And you've got to acknowledge that Jesus, the Son of God, came to live among men and women as the perfect Lamb of God who was without sin. And then he gave his life as a ransom to redeem lost mankind, to pay for a debt that he did not owe. Because sin comes with a debt. The wages of sin is death. Oh, it may feel good for a moment. Oh, let's tell the truth. Sin always feels good for a moment. That's why you yield to it, because it feels good. Amen. It feels good for me to give you a piece of my mind when God ain't told me to give you a piece of my mind, and you need a piece of my mind. It feels good for the moment. Amen? It feels good to take in some stuff into my body. Uh-oh. That ain't gonna be good for my body. You see how that just covered a whole range of stuff. I don't know where your mind went, but that covered a whole range of stuff. A whole range. Amen? Yeah, you can pick your own flavor. That covered it all. Amen? including that last bite of German chocolate cake when you knew you already had enough. You say, come on. Amen. It covered it all. It means that all of us then have walked in that place of sin, and sin feels good. That's one of the things that entices us, but sin always comes with a payment. The wages of sin is death. And death then is not just talking about life ceases to exist in this body. Death refers to separation from God, because what sin does, sin separates you from God. And the only way you can get back after you have walked through sin is to be in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the bridge back to God where my sin has separated me from God. Because sin has a payment that must be paid. And here is the problem. None of us could have ever paid enough to eradicate the debt that comes from sin. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, gave his life so that the payment that you and I owe, the debt that you and I owe, he paid on our behalf. So that when we look at the sin in our lives, past sin, present sin, and because you have not yet died, gone to heaven, and been perfected, we're talking about future sin. When you look at the sin in your life, Jesus has paid for it all. So you've got to speak the truth about who Jesus is in order to receive Jesus and get to know God. Amen? Because if eternal life is knowing God, and the only way I can know God is to know Jesus, and if the only way I can know Jesus is by accepting the gift that he comes to offer me, that means that I've got to acknowledge that, first of all, yep, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I need saving. And I can't save myself, but Jesus can. And when I walk in that and say, I accept from you the free gift of life, then it introduces me into a relationship with Jesus that cannot be broken, and that will give me more than I ever imagined. Why? Because what happens next is that the Spirit of the living God comes then to live inside of you. He comes to dwell with you so that God is always present with you. That no matter where you are, God is with you. Amen? That he's going to be with you, to walk with you, and to see you through, and to carry you through every difficult situation. He's going to be with you, to walk with you, and see you through, so that what God has started in you, he's going to see it through to completion. He's going to walk with you so what God has purposed for your life will be fulfilled. So you talk about reaping a harvest of eternal life, that I know God and God knows me. That I know his son, Jesus Christ, and he owns me. And that his Spirit lives in me means that now I am able to receive all that I need. And so, as we were talking before about thankfulness is an attitude that is not based up necessarily on what's going on in my life, that even when things are going bad, I got something to be thankful for. Amen? Let me start with this. I can first be thankful that God knows me and I know God. Amen? Oh, that's important. God knows me and I know God. Secondly, I can be thankful that Jesus loves me and he died for my sin. Amen? Listen, I'm just telling you, when you're searching over your life and you're in that moment when all you can see is your present trouble, you need to remember that your thankfulness is not based upon your present trouble, but it is rooted in a truth. And the truth is that God knows you, God loves you, God sees you, and God is going to bring you through. And that truth then is anchored in the fact that Jesus gave his life for you and that you are in him and you can never, ever be separated away from him. That scripture we read earlier, what can separate us from the love of God? What you say? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so you talk about being thankful, that when you're feeling unloved, you can be thankful that you are loved because nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Amen. I must be talking to the wrong crowd. I must be talking to people that don't have difficulties in their life. I must be talking to people where the folks in their lives treat them perfectly. I must be talking to folk that every day for them is hallelujah. Well, allow me to share with you that that's not my experience. There are some days when my heart just becomes heavy. And it becomes heavy because I'm looking at the mistreatment of God's children that claim that they love him. I'm looking at the attacks of the enemy that keeps pressing up against God's people and causing pain in their lives. And I'm looking at that, and sometimes I say, God, where you at? I'm sorry. I know y'all don't get mad at me. I know you don't behave like that. I know that you are holy and you are righteous. And I know that you are spiritual and you are able to press through your dark clouds with a radiant smile. But sometimes I just have to say, God, where are you at? Don't you see what so-and-so and so-and-so is doing? Don't you see how he acting a fool? And in those moments, I have to remember that God is where he has always been, on his throne. That even though it might look like that individual is getting away with nonsense, God is still in control. I have to remember that God has never given up his authority, but he has always said that he has the final say. And because he has the final say, there is no weapon that is formed against his people that will ever be able to prosper. Amen? I have to remember that. I have to remember what happened with Job, that in a single day, Job lost all that he had. All because the enemy of his soul came to attack and try to disprove Job's faithfulness to God. All his possessions gone. His children gone. And I have to remember that just as fast as those things were gone, God was able to restore them again. Why? Because God has the final say. And so in the middle of it all, when I'm asking that question, God, I don't see your hand moving right now. It's God has to remind me because you can't see everything. He has to remind me that my vision is limited. That I only can see so far, and if I would trust him to take care of the rest, I can then rest in him. And when I learn how to rest in him, my heart can return to the attitude of thankfulness. And I can say, God, I thank you that you see farther than I do. God, I thank you that you know more than I do. God, I thank you, Lord, that there is no hand that can come against you to stop your plan and the lives of your children and of your people. God, I thank you that I don't need to know the answer. God, I thank you that I don't need to know the outcome. All I need to know that, God, if you be for us, who can be against us? So I can return to my place of gratitude. If you and I will learn how to sow then seeds of thankfulness, we will reap a spiritual harvest of eternal life. Amen. Bear with me for just a few more moments, because I think this is important. Because in the middle of all of your stuff, sowing seeds of thankfulness not only reminds you, because those things I gave you, that's sowing seeds of thankfulness. When you're learning how, moment by moment, to give God thanks, you're sowing seeds of thankfulness. That even though the situation is not in agreement with what you desired, and you learn how to say, God, I yet thank you, you're sowing seeds of thankfulness. Why? Because remember, thankfulness is an attitude that drives my behavior. And so instead of me becoming grumpy about the situation that I might be in, I'm thankful. Amen. And as I am being thankful about the situation that I'm in, I am learning how to behave in an appropriate manner, consistent with a believer in God, a believer of Jesus Christ, who says that no matter what's going on right now, God still has the final say. And if I can then do that, then there's going to be a harvest that is produced in my life. Romans 14 and 17 says this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He says, so you're not worried so much about what you eat, what you drink. He said, you're not worried about those things. He says, but what you're going to get is righteousness, peace, and joy. How many of you know that it's better to have peace in a broke down shanty? Amen. Than to be living in the lap of luxury, sleeping with one eye open. Amen. Amen. I'd rather have peace with God than to enjoy all the benefits of this so-called world. Because peace with him means that I'm resting okay, and I'm trusting that he will provide. He says that if you can learn how to sow seeds of righteousness, then you will then have righteousness, you will have peace, and you will have joy from the Holy Spirit. If you can learn how to sow seeds of thankfulness, what you will get in return are the product that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Well, you know what comes from the fruit of the Spirit, right? For it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Uh-huh. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. What is it? Peace. Come on, talk to me. Patience. Help me out. Kindness. What? What? Gentleness. Self-control. Gratitude. Ooh. All of this stuff is going to come because the Spirit of God is living in you and producing in you, out of you, so that you can then appreciate all that God is doing for you. But what you've got to do is learn how to sow seeds of thankfulness. That means that you've got to look beyond your present circumstances. Amen? You've got to elevate your eyes a little bit higher. Stop looking at what's right in front of you. Start looking beyond it. Elevate your eyes to heaven. Look beyond the hills to see where your help comes from, and learn how to say in the midst of it all, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul gives some closing comments to the church at Thessalonica. He gives them these instructions. He says, rejoice always. Always means what? Always. Then he says, pray continually. Let's pray without ceasing. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Romans 12, verse 12 says it this way, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. He's naming these things that you and I do to sow seeds of thankfulness. I'm rejoicing. I am expressing my gratitude to God. I'm enjoying one of the greatest benefits and privileges that he has ever given to any human being. And that is to be able to pray and talk to him, to communicate with him, to be in fellowship with him, to enjoy his presence with an attitude of gratitude. To say that, God, thank you that I can walk to the throne of grace and I can give you thanks. God, no matter what I'm going through, I can be faithful in prayer. It is an expression of thankfulness. It is a seed that you sow, that you're not rejecting God's privilege to come and talk to him. That instead you're embracing it and saying, God, that no matter what's going on, I'm going to come and I'm going to talk to you. God, no matter what's going on, I'm going to come and enjoy your presence. God, everybody else may have rejected me and pushed me away, but I'm thankful that your door is always open. And because your door is always open, I'm choosing to come in and sit down and talk to you. God, I'm thankful that your ear is never tuned out on me. I'm thankful, God, that, Lord, whenever I call on you, you hear me, and better yet, you answer me. You respond to me, and you say, come on in, have a seat. Let's talk about it. God, I'm thankful. Therefore, I will be faithful in prayer. So I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to be hopeful in prayer. I'm going to pray continually. I'm going to be patient in affliction, and I'm going to be faithful in prayer as I give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because God has the final word. God has the final word. Amen. I love the story, the expression that Jesus tells a parable is in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a parable about a son who had approached his dad because he was no longer pleased with living under his father's roof, with his father's rules, his father's circumstances. He approached his dad and made an unreasonable request. For he said to his dad, I want my inheritance. And you and I know that a person does not get their inheritance until the one from whom they're getting the inheritance dies. And so he said, Dad, I ain't willing to wait on you to die. I want my stuff now. Though heartbreaking, the father responds to this unreasonable request. He takes and apparently liquidates some of his assets and gives to this son the half that belongs to him. Because this wasn't the only son that the father had. It says that he had an older brother. In fact, this particular son wasn't even the first in line. He's coming to make an unreasonable request. Father liquidates his assets, gives the son the portion that he says belongs to him. The son takes what his dad has earned, and he leaves home. Ungrateful little rascal. I know that's what you're thinking. I just thought I would go ahead and say it for you. He takes what he feels like he is owed, and he leaves home. But he's irresponsible. He hasn't learned that you don't buy friendship with money. He hasn't learned that it's a resource, it's a tool to help you provide for yourself in life. And you've got to be careful. Don't waste it, because if you spend it too quickly, you're not going to have enough for tomorrow. So he left home, and apparently he shut down every club that there was. Because it says in riotous living, the boy went broke, just enjoying himself. You say he was destitute? He was destitute. And so this is what destitute then looks like. After he had spent all of his money, all of the friends that he bought were gone because he no longer had any money. He then had to find a job. But because he had not cultivated any skills, and because everything was in a rough situation, he had to take one of the lowest paying jobs there was. And it was a nasty job. He took a job feeding pigs. He was being paid so little that even after he got paid, he didn't have enough to go get food for himself. And it says one day while he was feeding the pigs and he was looking at the food that the pigs were eating, and his mouth started watering. That's when you know it's bad. When you're looking at what the pigs eating and your mouth starts, you start salivating. His mouth starts watering and he starts thinking, wow, that looks good. Looking around. Anybody looking? Because if he had a spoon, he probably would have got him a spoonful of the slop because he was that hungry. But this is the power of God in the testimony. It says that when the boy had reached rock bottom, that the light of God shone in his situation. And though he had been shrouded by darkness, the light of God reminded him from whence he had came. And when the light of God began to shine in his circumstances and reminded him from whence he had came, he dropped his spoon. He said, wait a minute. I don't need to eat the slop because I got a daddy with a pantry full of food. I got a daddy who loved me so much that when I made that silly request and asked him for my half of the inheritance, he gave me what I was asking for. I got a daddy who is so good that when I didn't deserve to be treated well, he still treated me well. And not only did he treat me well, he treated all the servants that he had well. If my daddy is that good, maybe, just maybe, I can go back home and tell my daddy that I'm sorry. I messed up. Can you give me a job that at least pays me enough to eat and gives me a place to sleep? And he came, this is what the Bible says, he came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he left the hog pen and started heading home to see his daddy. Oh, I almost want to stop right there because that's a good place to talk about the goodness of God. For those of us who have wandered off away from him, for those of us who have forgotten that we have a good God whose love endures forever, for those of us who have forgotten that he loved us enough to give us life and to give us breath and to give us grace and to watch over us when we walked in our foolish ways, he loved us enough to keep us from hurt, harm, and danger when we were all in the middle of hurt, harm, and danger. He loved us enough to sustain us and give us another day. We need to be reminded that we have a good God, a God who loves us, and that in the same way in that story, the way that dad responded to his son, that's the way our God will respond to us. Well, you say, well, how did the dad respond to his son? Well, the dad happened to be out on the day that the son was coming back. And as he came over the horizon, the dad looked up and said, I know that walk. The dad looked up and he said, that looks like the silhouette of my boy. Because he's still so far away that he can't distinguish the features yet. He hadn't been able to cast his eyes upon the son's eyes to see that his eyes look just like his. He hadn't seen the feature of his nose to say, that boy got my nose. All he can see is the silhouette. And when he looks at the silhouette, he says, I believe that's my boy. And before the son arrives, the daddy says, hey, come here. I need you, he called one of his servants, I need you to begin making preparations because I see something that's about to happen, something that is good. My boy that was gone looks like he is returning. And you know what happens. By the time the son reaches the daddy, his heart, he has rehearsed his story. His heart is broken. He's gotten his words right, and he comes up to his daddy. He said, Daddy, I was wrong. I messed up. Will you please forgive me? And the father reaches out to that boy, as stinky as he was. And he grabbed him and said, you my boy. You my boy. You are forgiven. He said to the servant, quick, go get him a ring so that he can be reminded of who he is. Hey, wait. And also bring me a robe so that I can put the right kind of clothing on this boy. And so the servant runs off and he said, oh, and by the way, tell them that I want them to go ahead and kill the fatted calf because we getting ready to have a celebrate. We getting ready to rejoice because my boy that was lost, my son that was lost has found his way back home. And because I'm a good, good daddy, we going to celebrate. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you that when you learn how to sow seeds of thankfulness, when you learn how to give God thanks, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, that when you find your way back to the daddy, he begins to say to you the kind of things that that daddy said to his son. He said, my child has made it back. My child has learned how to say thank you. My child has learned how to receive forgiveness. Quick, 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 quick. Will you go ahead and remind my child of who he or she is? Bring to them the robe of righteousness that was prepared for them by Christ Jesus. Remember, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is about righteousness. He's going to clothe you in righteousness. He says, wipe away the debt. Remind them that I have more than enough and that anything that you have done, I can and I will restore you. And he says, go ahead and kill the fattened calf. Because right now, they're going to reap a harvest of eternal life, reminding them that they know the Father, and they know the Son. And because you know the Father and you know the Son, you have life. Sow seeds of thankfulness and reap from God more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Amen. Can the church say amen? Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we're in this place today. And we thank you for Jesus Christ. For you say that when we put our hope in him, our trust in him, that he forgives us for all of our sins. And so we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today for your Spirit who lives in us. So that, God, you are always present with us. That you lead us, you guide us, you direct us, and you fill us with your wisdom. And therefore, we say thank you. God, we're thankful that, Lord, you never, ever closed the door on us. That you are regularly saying to us, choose life. Choose life. I have come that you might live. Choose life. And no matter how many times we reject or rebel. You yet wait with open arms for that moment when we will say yes to you. And when we say yes, God, we're thankful that you don't remind us of the many times that we said no. You simply receive us and welcome us into your family. You call us sons. You call us daughters. You call us children of the Most High God. Thank you today for being a good, good Father. We love you. We honor you. We celebrate your goodness. In Jesus' name.